It's time for Mac Break Weekly. Andy and Renee are here. We're getting ready for the Apple quarterly results. They'll be out right after the show's over, unfortunately. But we're going to take, you know, we like to preview what you already know. So see how close we were to being accurate. We'll also talk about some rumors, including a delay in the iPhone 8 edition version and a Siri speaker. It's all coming up next on Mac Break Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Mac Break Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Mac Break Weekly, episode 557, recorded Tuesday, May 2nd, 2017. We're all sheeple now. Mac Break Weekly is brought to you by WordPress. WordPress powers 27% of all websites. Get 15% off your new website at WordPress.com/MacBreak. That's WordPress.com/MacBreak. And by Texture. Access the world's most popular magazines anytime, anywhere, using your smartphone or tablet. Try it free for 14 days at texture.com/twit. And by Upside, the smart new way to save big money on business travel. Visit Upside.com and enter the code MACBREAK to be guaranteed at least a $100 gift card when you book your first trip. It's time for Mac Break Weekly, the show where we cover the latest news from Apple. Renee Ritchie's here from iMore.com. He's warming up his fingers. He's doing the stretching exercises. There will be typing this afternoon.
It's not a holiday quarter or an iPhone launch, so it's going to be doomed, Leo. It's just a question of how doomed.
It should be easy. It should be easy.
Doomed as doomed can be, you know.
How many words, you think? 100 words? 100,000 words?
A couple million iPhones here, a couple million iPads there. Soon it's real money.
Andy Anacco also here from the Chicago Sun-Times. He's not on deadline. Or are you?
I'm always on deadline, baby. The world keeps spinning even as I keep tripping.
Did either of you, you're on East Coast time, so it wasn't as early as it was for me. I got up at 5 a.m. To cover at 6:30 a.m. our time, Microsoft's announcement in New York City of a new version of Windows. An interesting version of Windows. Windows 10 S. The S stands for simple?
Siri.
Siri?
Siri.
Stands for schools and for
school. Students. Speed, security, safety.
But interestingly, okay, so this is something Apple could follow in their footsteps. Remember when Apple started the Apple Store and you know, encouraged you to buy apps there? I was a little perturbed. I was worried. I was upset. I thought this is the beginning of the end. They're going to make you buy all your apps there.
They're going to keep the App Store updated.
And they never did. It wasn't a problem. They have Gatekeeper, which says, you can only, you know, you could turn on Gatekeeper, and I imagine schools might do that. You can only get apps from the App Store, but it's up to the user because it's a desktop operating system. Well, Microsoft's Windows 10S is almost identical to Windows 10 in every respect, except you can only get apps from the App Store, and there's no way to turn that off. That's what
well,
10S is.
You can upgrade, right?
For 50 bucks, you can upgrade it to regular Windows Windows 10 Pro. So
yeah, actually, if you buy one of Microsoft's new Surfaces, we'll talk about that in a second, it's free to upgrade it through the end of the year. So if it, in effect, you don't have to have Windows 10S. But schools might be interested in that because it, you know, limits what the trouble kids can get into. I think actually it's more than a school operating system. And in fact, when they announced the hardware to go with it, they announced they have seven vendors, Acer, Asus, Dell, Fujitsu, HP, Samsung, and Toshiba will all make Windows 10S laptops for education starting at $189. These are essentially Chromebooks running Windows 10, right. You know,
it's
kind of a stripped down specs.
Right, which means that they're perfectly fine for whatever you want the four R's to be, not only for schooling, but also for like personal computing. Like people, a lot of the stuff that I use my iPad Pro for, it really is just, I need a web browser. I need to write lots of words. I need to go on Twitter and goof off a little bit. And a lot of these things can be handled very well with a Chromebook that costs $200 or a $300 notebook. But yeah, this really is just laser focused on education. Acer introduced among the carpet bombing of press releases that was in my inbox at 1 second past the time they were allowed to actually post. Acer has a $200 obviously education focused machine. It can only be bought by education, and it's designed to be drop proof. It has a chiclet keyboard, but that means that they were very they're very specific, saying that you could pour as much as 11 ounces of liquid into this keyboard and gutters would channel it away. I know I worryingly that is 1 ounce less than a 12 ounce can of soda. So I don't know if they said that if you so long as you make a half-hearted attempt to grab the can after you dump it onto the keyboard, it will still be okay. But yeah, it couldn't be more clear that this is the idea of, let's create something that no school system is going to want to say no to. The other parts of the press release is it's designed so that you can easily rack mount it. This Acer is also a 360-degree convertible, so you can use it as a tablet. You can use it to stand it up and play a video. It has HD video, 1080p. It's interesting, and it basically makes a tough world for Apple to sell iPads to schools in, to bring it back to Apple.
It's funny. I think we totally buried the lead, though, that Joe Bellafiore now has blonde hair. But if we go past that.
I didn't see Joe. Was Joe there?
He was tweeting from outside the venue with his. Outside? And his hair is always a big deal.
Outside the venue. This was really, though, Ed Bott, who was joining me for the stream, pointed out this is really Joe's thing. He took a year sabbatical after Windows 10 came out and spent it traveling and teaching his kids. And education has become his thing. He's now in charge of education at Microsoft. So I really did expect to see Joe on stage. Instead, we saw CEO Satya Nadella, followed by Terry Myerson, who's the senior vice president for Windows. And then a stream of various presenters and teachers and educators demonstrating the thing. But this is Joe's baby, I think.
Wasn't it interesting, though, that, I mean, like, you could say, you know, last time they came for the creatives, and I didn't worry too much because I had a fancy new MacBook Pro. Now they're coming for the education market.
Well, that's why I'm bringing this up, because and MacBreak Weekly, because obviously, you know, you guys, I'm sure, don't say, we don't want to hear about Windows. But Microsoft did ship announce new hardware, which won't ship for 6 weeks. They call it the Surface Laptop. And on the Surface, it might look like an education machine, but it starts at $999, not education priced.
Yeah.
And I think this is more than a 2¾-pound high res 10-point touch, no pen included, but you can use the pen with it, device that is not just aimed at schools, but aimed at executives and
the
actually
color, Leo. Look at those fashionable colors.
Aimed squarely at Apple. They even compared it to Apple in terms of battery life. It's got a real, this looks like the MacBook. It's a little heavier than the MacBook, but it's got a real processor, the i5 or the i7. Kaby Lake, core. Too, seventh generation, not the older one. It has, admittedly a stripped down operating system, although I think there are people, including executives, just normal people, who would probably like 10S. It's kind of midway between a Chromebook, which is, you know, highly locked down.
You can flip it if
Windows.
You don't. So it's not even a big deal.
And you can
deal.
Flip it. Yeah.
Right.
The education version is going to have a free version of Minecraft and Minecraft, you know, a bunch of stuff. They're doing a bunch of tools for education. So they're really aggressively pushing education. But I think if you're an Apple person, you've got to look at this and say, gosh, this might be the laptop I wish Apple had made.
It's priced like an iPad Air, sorry, like a MacBook Air, and it's got a Retina display, and it looks like a MacBook Air, and it's got a Retina display, and it's got the colors of a MacBook, which don't come with the bigger models.
It's really an interesting. No, you just have to what you have to bite the bullet and say, well, am I willing to buy a Windows 10 device instead of a Mac OS device? But I've ordered one. I ordered the burgundy one, and we'll have it, but we won't have it until June 15th. The colors are pretty. They offer an i7 version with 16 gigs of RAM. They don't go more than that, any more than Apple does. 512 gig SSD. I don't know a lot about the SSD. Do you not see my screen, Karsten? Okay. I don't know a lot about the SSD. We have some specs here. But I do think that this is, I think there, what do you think? Are some Apple people going to look at this? Look at the video, I mean, was yeah. straight out of Apple's playbook. Oh. Sorry. Straight out of Apple's playbook. This actually isn't the video I wanted to show. They showed a video of it being put together, you know, that with the exploded yeah. parts and stuff that really was straight out of Apple playbook. They're going after Apple.
Smart. I mean, it's really smart marketing.
Here we go. This is a very Apple ad down to the music. So, you know,
speak the language of the people you want to talk to.
Wait until
right
they pronounce aluminum and they'll lock it in.
Note the i7 right up front. They show an i7.
Yep. Core M is not a great processor.
Interestingly, though, they're doing the buckling, very similar keys, the switches to the Apple laptop. And Andy, I'll be very interested to see how that works. Yeah.
They have similar platform and physical constraints, so they're going to have to do right. similar platform.
This is interesting. Things. They use Alcantara, which is a poly fiber for the surface, not the keyboard, but underneath the keyboard.
Yeah,
that certainly makes it distinct. But I don't know how that'll wear. They say it feels very comfortable and warm.
We'll find out. I mean, it might wear like leather, meaning that you can tell that, as what they say on Antiques Roadshow, good, honest wear that actually gives it a patina, or it could make you wish that you had decided not to use this right after a 10-mile bike ride.
Yeah. You know, I mean, in terms of specs, it's got a standard USB port, no Type-C on this one.
And
it's,
no USB-C.
It's got a Type-A. Yeah. Yeah. It's also got one Type-A mini display port, and they're all doubling down on the Surface port, which, you know, if you have other Surfaces, it's going to, you know, which I do, the dock and the
what is
power
the Surface port adapters do, Leo?
Work. It is, I mean, it's a big version of Type-C. I mean, you can... You know, when I put the dock on it, I got Ethernet, I got USB type, you know, USB 3, I've got, you know, a dock.
Yeah. The basic idea HDMI. Is to make it trivially easy to take a laptop that has deleted a lot of ports and essentially turn it into a functional desktop without having to plug in a whole bunch of things or having to buy like a $400 Thunderbolt brick for it. So it's an interesting place. I think that Microsoft, they're definitely taking some lessons from Apple, but I think they're also taking some lessons from Google, where they're saying that we're doing great. We got like 80-something% of the desktop market by letting everybody, all these manufacturers, do whatever they want. But we think that we really need to develop the Microsoft brand, not just as like this power outlet that's at the desk at your office that you don't think about, and turn it into something that there's going to be at least one brand that is a desirable object. Where when I take my job at this new company and they try to give me like an Acer laptop or a Samsung laptop, you're gonna as part of the deal, you're gonna get me a Surface notebook so that people see that I'm a man of taste and breeding and character who wants the finest things in life. And that's, I think, part of why they've been pushing the Surface brand. Even when you have this $999 laptop that runs what might be incorrectly what might be said as the second class version of Windows, realize that it's still a premium build. It's still designed so that you're not sacrificing all that much. I think that this one is designed to be a transition between like someone who went through high school being issued Windows notebooks and now wants to buy something for college someone's going to buy something for them for college, or they've decided, hey, I'm going to be $700,000 in debt. What's another $1,000 of debt? They want to take something with them to school that has a little bit of style about it, and they don't want a gaming laptop.
It includes a year of Office 365, and now they've put Office 365 in the Windows Store. This is not the same as the tablet version that you get on the iPad. This is somewhat different. I haven't played with it. I haven't played with any of this. But
they're saying that it's not that things don't have to be necessarily rewritten for the Windows Store. But if Google wants to have Chrome use on this laptop, they will have to put a version of Chrome in the store. Which, just like doing things for the Apple Store, means that there are terms and conditions you're going to have to adhere to in how you build your apps. So this if this would be a good thing for Microsoft, it will sort of encourage developers to move a little bit out of the wild, wild west. VPN into the compound where there are rules to how we expect apps to behave.
Can they do, third-party rendering engines in the Windows Store? Because they can't do that on
They showed on the Photoshop. They say Photoshop is...
But I mean, for like Chrome, could they put their Chrome rendering engine as opposed to...
Yeah, Microsoft's rules. Right now, there is only one browser on XS, and that's Edge, Microsoft's own browser. Yeah. No third-party browsers.
But I don't think they're as restrictive, but
I'm not sure.
Yeah, they may not be.
The other thing missing is Steam, and one of the reasons people buy Windows machines is to play games. That's Gabe Newell and Valve was very perturbed by the Windows Store. He said this is Microsoft's attempt to shut down third-party gaming. Everybody laughed at him at the time, but that might be a little bit more true now. That's certainly
Microsoft just doesn't have that power over their own platform.
No, and they don't think they want to. They want a diverse platform. Right. I think you nailed it, Andy. This is a reference design, much like the Google Pixel, to show what you could do at the high end. It's certainly not the education machine. But
just
that's
can't turn
why
on
it's
and
interesting.
Off like gatekeeper.
Yeah.
You have to uninstall, reinstall, reinstall.
You have to upgrade. Now, it's interesting because from now through the end of the year, you not only get a free version of Office 365 for 1 year. From now through the end of the year, if you buy one of these, you get a free upgrade to Windows 10 Pro. So they're saying this is a real laptop. This fills a gap in the laptops.
Yeah.
Because they had the Surface Book, which I own, but it's ungainly. It's top heavy because of the way it's designed, so it's not really great in the lap. They didn't really have a laptop. Plenty of other people are making Windows laptops. They didn't have a laptop. So that's why they're calling this Surface laptop. It fits in between the convertible that they make, the tablet, the Surface Pro, the Surface Book, which is a laptop with a detachable screen. This is just a regular. This looks a lot like the MacBook.
Exactly. I think that's what they're doing with the Surface brand. If people don't, if people are saying correctly that, for instance, your lovable desktop over there is not like the best seller in the world, it's not necessarily designed to be the best seller in the world. It's designed to say that, look, if you see something with the Surface that's being sold under the Surface brand, you at least want to take a look at it because it's going to be different and interesting. But this, just as the Surface Book last year, it was really interesting because it's not just here you can detach the screen and it becomes it's not only is it a regular touchscreen machine, but you can also actually detach the screen. It has its own battery, it has its own CPU, and get this super, super, super slim tablet machine that still runs Windows, but it's also leaving behind in the base with the keyboard and the trackpad, it's leaving behind the GPU and other things that are really, really power hungry so that this can still have a really good battery life. That's obviously comes with a lot of trade-offs, as you mentioned, but it's something that Microsoft can make and say, hey, here's some things you can do with Windows that will distinguish it from the commodity machines that most people are buying. And the fact that they're not only giving you an easy upgrade path from XS to actual Windows Pro, and also saying, look, no, we will give you, screw the $50, we will give it to you if you want it. It's clear that this is not just a pet project. It's not just, hey, wouldn't it be nice? They really are trying to make people from, again, people who, I think most Windows users right now, they land at the airport, they go to the rental car counter, and they get the car that is issued to them, and they drive that car without feeling very much about it. They're really trying to build a generation of Windows fans, of people who, especially kids who are going to grow up with Windows machines, grow up with hopefully cool Windows machines. And when they're looking at a Linux machine, they'll say, well, God, why would I want something that's this hard? And I can't use the commercial apps that I have to pay a lot of money for, but I want those commercial apps that I pay a lot of money for. Or they'll look at Macs and they'll say, yeah, but this keyboard really sucks. I mean, it's a clown exploding bad keyboard. Why would I want this? Well, because it's more secure, and it's because of, I just want the nice keyboard. You know, you want to make a generation of people who are going to have active resistance against switching from Windows.
Funnily enough, Apple's strategy for years, they gave away Apple II computers. Your generation, Rene, grew up with Apple II computers in school.
Every computer lab.
And I think that was a very smart move. I don't know why Apple abandoned it. Google has been eating everybody's lunch with their Chromebooks in the last couple of years. This is Microsoft's all hands on deck response. And I have to say, I think it's a very good response. They have, if you watch the videos that they showed, they have a very good solution for administrators in schools to make it easy to set these up. They're offering a version of their Intune enterprise administration tool for education. They're doing a version of their Slack competitor, Microsoft Teams. They're doing Teams for education, and I think that is brilliant.
Yeah, that's part of giving away Office 365 for free for a year, because there's a lot of we on shows like this and in columns, we like to argue about, well, what about this technology makes it better than the other, or what features is this delivering that other people's aren't that other solutions aren't going to get? But it unfortunately, it really is what came pre-installed on the machine, right? During the 15-minute or half-hour process in which I unboxed and set up this computer. Was there a box that said, oh, by the way, choose a password and you'll have this this Office suite for an entire year for free? You are not going to be going out and looking for third-party apps because it works fine. There's nothing wrong with it. Google Docs is not the greatest suite in the world, but it works fine. It's free. It's what people are being taught in schools. And so you really need to push them into a better app, even if it is a better app for them.
And imagine they've got Microsoft Office for free. A lot of schools use PowerPoint. Schools that might be tempted to use Google, Google's apps, are now have access free to the Microsoft apps. Let me ask you guys this. Is this the laptop Apple should have made? Is this what their MacBook Air should have been, or even the MacBook Pro? Now they have, I think, lapped Apple twice with touch devices. This Surface Studio, which I have to say, touch works beautifully on, and now a laptop. Apple said time and time again, we're not going to do touch. We don't believe in touch. So Microsoft says, yeah, well, we're going to do it. What do you think?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I think that we're still in the age of compromises all around. Like, this is a really great laptop. It's essentially a MacBook Air with a Retina display that does touch, but it's missing USB-C.
And better battery life.
And yeah, well, I mean, I don't know. The MacBook Air's got pretty great battery life, but getting a Retina display in there with good battery life is a really good accomplishment. And it's, you know, it's running on the latest processors. It's not running on Core M the way that MacBook is doing. And it doesn't have USB-C, which seems like Microsoft could throw one of those in there. I mean, there's always sort of something with these that doesn't give you everything that you want. Otherwise, we'd have nothing to complain about. Fair enough. My bigger problem with all this
is
that
demand for USB-C?
It's increasingly going forward. I mean, it's not fun to have a computer that now is okay because it's got a single USB-A port, but in 2 years everything is USB-C, and now you're using dongles again like you bought a MacBook Pro. So I mean, it'd be nice if these companies had some sort of balance. Like, just give me one old port, one new port. I'll be happy for both, you know, for a couple of years to come. But my bigger concern is, you know, Apple famously gave away software because they make so much money on hardware. Google escalated by giving away hardware and software because they make so much on services. And Microsoft is an old company trying to reinvent themselves. But we saw Palm start to give away things at a loss, and we don't have Palm anymore. So I just hope that Microsoft has a strategy to actually keep making money and being a solvent company and a growing company on the back of trying to compete with Google, who can literally afford to give away all stuff.
Well, just say, I hope Microsoft has a strategy to make money.
I mean, you're always one step away from
doing all right, Renee. I mean, admittedly, they don't have $250 billion in the bank, but they're doing all right.
Everyone is doing all right until they're not. That's my biggest fear. I mean, Apple's doing all right until they're not. And if you decide to compete with Google on price, you've got to make sure that, you know, well, first you create a generation for whom price is the only feature. And Google is really good at competing with companies for whom price is the only feature. And then you also train people not to want to spend money on stuff. And you've got to have an engine that allows you to be solvent when people aren't spending money in a traditional way. And again, Google is past master at doing all this. They make incredible amounts of money. So does Facebook, without having to sell any atoms or any bits. But not everyone is good at doing that. And I think Microsoft has really good traditional Office and enterprise and server businesses, but that's very different than the consumer market.
Well, the problems there are that it's not as though people always want the cheapest and they always want something that's free. They want to get the best value. And sometimes there really is that sweet spot of, again, is Google Docs has the best word processor ever made? Certainly not, but it's good enough so that most people can use it for a long, long time before they feel as though they're hitting their head on the ceiling of what they can do with this app. A lot of things that laptops that are in the that run Windows, they are also, there's some really terrible ones that I really wish that people would ban from their house, as they would ban trans fats, because they're just terrible. They break in about 5 or 6 months, but nonetheless, there's a sweet spot of $500 where even when I test these things, as I'm wrapping it up and sending it back to the manufacturer at the end of my period, I'm like, why do I always just automatically spend $1,800 on a new laptop when there are very few things I can't do with this really dirt cheap one that's well made and has all kinds of ports on it. So I agree that you always have to have a plan to keep making money, but Microsoft has air support. They got sea support. They got land. They got ground forces with Windows. It's still 83% of the desktop market. Might even be a little bit larger than that. Depends on how you cook the numbers. So long as you can keep people and companies and schools using software that at some point requires a licensing fee to be paid by someone to Microsoft, they're going to do pretty well. And this I think we can start to steer the conversation about Microsoft's trajectory away from trying to reinvent themselves to, no, they've done it. They rolled the dice saying that, no, we don't think that laptops and desktops are going to be trending downward and eventually going away. We think that they're going to be affected by multi-touch, but then find its own level because we think there are always going to be things that desktops and laptops can do that multi-touch devices can't. So we are going to build hybrid devices so that not only can someone build a phone out of this or a tablet out of this or a laptop out of this, they can build a laptop that takes some of the best features of a tablet or a tablet that takes some of the best features of a laptop. And as I've said before, it really is starting to look that Apple bet on the wrong horse here. I really think that I will never let the phrase what Apple should be doing escape my lips, except for in a mocking tone as it's doing right now. But I really I'm looking forward to seeing if Apple either has a way to remind us why keeping multi-touch screens are separate from laptops, desktops, and mobile devices is still the best way to go, and tell me why a generation of people who, once again, the first computer they pick up is going to be a device that has a touch screen on it, how they're going to continue to get these people to want to buy Macs instead of buying an iPad or an iPhone and never really cottoning to any other computer. It's a question mark in my mind. That's all I'm saying.
What does Apple do in education now? Do they just give up with two strong competitors in Microsoft and Google?
They haven't shown any ability.
You look at the iPad in this. If I were an educator, I would say, not going to buy an iPad. Too expensive.
It's tempting because when you talk about the recent introduction, the price drop to $329, that's getting close to what schools can afford to buy per seat for a student. However, it doesn't come matched with the software that they need. It certainly doesn't come matched with the administration tools that they need. Again, it's really a computer you buy you're buying 500 copies of for a school system is such a different beast than something you're buying two or three of for your household or 10 of for your company. It is really no accident that Acer said, by the way, here's how much liquid a stupid kid can pour into this keyboard before you run into a problem. Well, here's how far he can drop it before he or she can drop it.
Another advantage for Microsoft, there is a much more heterogeneous group of OEMs that can make a variety of different sizes, shapes, styles, and price points, which makes this very desirable. Microsoft has put together a software package and a concept, and then they're saying, you guys run with it. And I think that Apple doesn't have that, luxury.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that I think Andy is right that Apple has focused in on iPad, especially the new iPad 5th generation for schools, and they're pairing that with a Logitech deal. So if you buy them, you can buy the pallets of them, basically, where you get a bunch of iPads at a discounted price with a bunch of Logitech keyboards that are matched to them at a discounted price. And then they have the new Fraser Spears has done a really good job documenting all this. They have a bunch of new tools where teachers can push things to students and pull things back. And they've just rebranded iTunes U and all their Apple stuff as Apple Education, and they're pushing the teachers project.
Okay.
Across, it just came into Canada.
Course, yeah, the but US there's good. Year. There's a lot of curriculum on iPad. Pearson and others.
And a lot of apps for students. Yeah.
But that's also one of the problems. They don't in many school systems, they don't have the ability to choose an iPad until they go back to their school board and saying, yes, I know that we are not allowed to buy computers that do not have an Ethernet port. However, here's the reason why we don't think that's important and why we want to buy an iPad instead. It basically adds another thing to the another brick in the backpack of somebody who really wants to put iPads in the school system. Whereas there's so much flexibility in the Windows side of things. I'm not saying this is right or wrong, but this is just the way the world is. If the state of California decided that added some tweaks to we don't think that our technology in school system project is really working right now. We are going to add these two or three features to the core curriculum. You could have a company like Acer say, great, we are going to, because that's a huge market, we are actually going to create the California edition. It comes with Avocado and the prototyping board area that the school system requires of all computers that they buy, because that's how many we're going to sell.
Right.
The difficulty with Apple is not that they can't create, hey, we've got this great iTunes U system. It's like, yeah, no. It has to be iTunes me, iTunes my school system. Mm-hmm. You don't try to sell me on your new system. You convince me that I tell you what I need for my operation. It's really, really hard for – I don't think that Apple has – created for itself a culture that says that we're going to start to make a computer that we don't necessarily want to make, that doesn't really inspire us, that doesn't, we don't think is part of the future. That is a wonderful and aspirational thing. It delivers things as simple as the AirPods. That is not a product of a company that's trying to make a $50 pair of Bluetooth earbuds. They're trying to make something truly great. They need to create a culture of they need to create a used auto dealership, a really good used auto dealership that knows how to go to the auto auction saying that, great, this is, we can sell a million cars that cost $5,000 and have at least 50,000 good miles on them. That's how we're going to make our business. Apple is not a company that wants to do that. They want to make the hover car that flies itself and sells you movies while you're traveling.
I have to say, there is a killer app that Microsoft has that Apple does not, and that is Minecraft for Education. And they are offering this, you know, this acquisition, $3.2 billion, I think it was, is looking smarter and smarter and smarter for Microsoft. Yep. Not only is the game still extremely popular for maybe kids from 10 to 15, but it also, they now have this code builder, which means that you can teach kids math, programming. You can really do a good job of using something that the kids already love.
Yeah.
And they demonstrated using Tinker to have one of the things you do in Minecraft is a lot of mining, and it gets tedious. So you tell the kid, write an automated mining machine in Tinker. Oh, I could do that? Yeah, you could let it run all night. Oh, I could do that? That's, talk about incentive to learn how to program. Oh, my God. I want to do
that. Soon it'll be Bitcoin, Leo. Soon it'll be Bitcoin.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, even if you didn't have any other educational leg up, this is big. This is huge, I think.
I'm glad that remains a century later a core American value. Find a way to get little kids into the mining industry.
Forget coal miners. I got Minecraft mining. No, but I mean, if you want to teach coding, and increasingly, I think Absolutely. Coding belongs in the math curriculum as well.
You go to where the kids are.
Go to where the kids are, and I can't imagine a single kid that wouldn't be thrilled to play with this. And it comes with this thing. Microsoft's smart too, because they did avoid the netbook a little bit by making this high end laptop. So
yeah,
that
they'll let Acer and all the rest.
And there will be netbooks. There will be crap. Yes. $189. What could you make? But it won't be from Microsoft. Microsoft's showing, look, you can make a good one. Yeah, but schools, we understand you're on a budget, so we're going to give you a choice. Last question, then we'll move on. Can we now say that touch belongs on the desktop, or is Apple right?
I've already said it. I think that Apple is either leaving money on the table, or they're letting the bus take off without them. I think that they really need to figure out a way to either enhance iOS so that it becomes more excuse me, so they can sell, not so that it ruins existing iPads, but so that, hey, look how much we've added on to this wonderful building we call iOS. We've now created new APIs and new hardware specs for here's how you make an iOS-based laptop. Or they find a way to say that, yeah, you know how macOS, the interface has looked a little bit stodgy and a little bit old? Well, that's because we have been always working on macOS emoji. It's so in the future we can't even put a number on it. It has to be high ASCII number of a smiley face, and that's how different this is. And yes, it does incorporate multi-touch. That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah, well, we might find out. WWDC is just a few weeks away. That's Apple's, it's a month away. It's Apple's chance to none of these things are done in a month, but one hopes Apple has a response.
I think it's a broader question, too. It's like, not just does multi-touch belong on the desktop, but does it belong on computing? And as Andy said, people are growing up just using touch. It's a de facto interaction model for them. And I think the desktop paradigm starts to go away because none of these things are strictly desktop anymore. You pull off the keyboard, you use it on your lap, you flip it upside down, turn it around, you use it while you're standing. We're living in an age where all those boundaries, those sort of artificial technologically constrained boundaries are falling by the wayside. And Apple is sort of, it's funny to say, but it's sort of unlucky here because Google grew up their business from a touch generation era. They didn't have a legacy computer business. And Microsoft did, but their mobile operating system didn't do very well. If Windows Phone had been as successful, Windows Mobile had been as successful as iOS was, maybe they'd be facing a similar conundrum. But they had to go all in on Windows, and it really hurt them for a while with Windows 8, and they came through the other side, and now they're doing extremely well. And Apple had huge success with iOS, which makes it hard to want to invest considerable time and money in making OS X or macOS touch friendly, but now they have to devote that energy into iOS because you're going to be like caught in the middle if you're not. And there just has to be something after both of these things when computers really are no longer segmented between mobile and desktop that has a better answer than what we have from Apple today.
JC Lon in the chat room, I think, says it nicely. It's nice to have the choice.
Yeah.
And when
you don't like it, don't use it.
You don't have to use touch, but it's sure nice to have it there. And I think they've proven that you can make a beautiful machine with a touchscreen.
Yeah, just to finish it off, that's the core of my disquietness with Apple, because the option for Mac is, well, just don't buy a Mac. Like, yeah, but I want to buy a Mac. I like Macs. I've always used Macs. They're great. It's like, if you want a standard USB port, you're welcome to switch to Windows. Whereas if you're in Windows, it's like, oh man, this new laptop doesn't have USB-C. Well, I guess I'll buy one of 100 laptops that will get the job done for me that have USB-C and USB-3.
So
I hope it'll still work for Apple. Or maybe their long form game plan is, we think that we can express our Appleness and not necessarily always being a desktop manufacturer or even a mobile manufacturer. We want to create the software that heals the world, which any other company you would think is a silly thing that the new CEO says as he's counting the days until, if I don't get fired until this date, I get my $80 million bonus and I can buy my own rock concert. With Apple, you're thinking that no, we think that we see the writing on the wall. We can't make $50 phones. We can't make $500 laptops. So we're going to transform ourselves into a company that can do good and express our creativity without having to do those things.
All right, taking a break. More to come. Apple has $250 billion in the bank.
Poor Apple. They're in so much trouble with this new Microsoft.
Bye, Apple. It's your long-lost relative, Renee. I need to borrow some money.
I hear there's a Nigerian prince who could help you get that money, Renee. actually, the Apple quarterly results come out later today. We'll give you a preview of that. And some bad news for the Apple Watch. A couple of big companies are pulling their Apple Watch apps. Maybe.
Perhaps.
Our show today brought to you by WordPress. I confess, I've been using WordPress for a decade. And I confess, I was seduced by a pretty young thing. And sure, I had a little fling with some other system, but I'm back, baby, and I'm so happy. I love WordPress. For a long time, I was hosting my own WordPress blog. And one of the things I got tired of was keeping it up to date. WordPress.com. They host it. I don't have to. I'm no longer enamored of the idea of running my own server. They keep it up to date. They give you so much capability. Here's my new site, leolaporte.com. It's, and I have, of course, I have to have the full bleed, gorgeous pictures from many of our shows and, my personal life. There's Bill Atkinson and the Fat Bits license plate, which I love. You scroll down, and I've got a blog there. It's pulling in my feeds from Instagram and Twitter and Goodreads. And I mean, it's just ready to go. And the commenting system. But you know what I found, which I had forgotten? WordPress.com has a huge community around it. So I get follows. I get lots of traffic from the front page at WordPress.com. If you're a business, you know you got to have a great website. And I want to strongly suggest you create your website at WordPress.com. For businesses, of course, for professionals, and for people like me, bloggers, I love it. They have the .blog domain. I got leolaporte.blog. Got that right away. I love it. Or you can bring your own domain over. The themes are endless, and the support is great. I was looking for a particular feature. I messaged them. They said, oh, yeah, try this. Instant response. You can talk to somebody 24/7, and you're part of a community. And I mean a big community, because did you know 27% of all the websites in the world run on WordPress? 27%. You're working with the big boys when it comes to WordPress. I think you're going to love WordPress. And I want you to go to WordPress.com/MacBreak right now. WordPress.com/MacBreak. Because you'll get 15% off your brand new website. You don't have to have experience running a website. WordPress can guide you through the process. But if, like me, you're a longtime WordPress user, you could sure dig under the hood and play with it and have a lot of fun. It's just a great solution. Great hosting, great software from WordPress.com. 15% off a brand new website at WordPress.com/MacBreak. This is not your grandpa's WordPress. Yeah, by the way, very easy to import. My grandpa had a WordPress. It's okay. Well, he had a letterpress. It's close.
He was born in a log WordPress that he built with his own two hands.
It was really easy to export all of my content and just suck it right up into WordPress, which is...
A lot of big tech sites run off WordPress.
Yeah, you know, I was very... Every time we talk about it, people will say, oh, yeah, we use WordPress as our CMS. Yeah. I mean, it's... It's power.
You were just showing 9to5 Mac. That's running off WordPress.
Yeah.
The Chicago Sun-Times works off of WordPress.
27%.
It's pretty darn good. My own and my personal site runs off of WordPress, which means that when it comes time to archive my stuff, I just simply cut, copy, paste.
Yep. Yeah. And incidentally, it's really nice to be back on Daniel Jalkut's Mars Edit.
Yes.
The best Mac desktop client for blogging. And I was frustrated because I couldn't use it because, well, WordPress has a very well-known API that works just great. You can use it with Blogger, too. And I'm using Mars Edit with this new micro.blog, and it pipes right into my WordPress. I mean, that's the advantage you have of having a system that's been around for years.
Yeah.
Everybody supports it. It's just awesome.
Again, it's about choice. No matter what you want to do with a blog or just the vague concept of I've got ideas in my brain that I want to put onto internet, please.
Yeah.
You can articulate that
with
WordPress.
And you never have to be the person who hits the bug first.
Yeah. Therat.com runs on WordPress. Yep. You know, Paul is using it. Anyway, thank you. We're glad. I'm sorry I had that fling with that other one. She's forgiven me, I'm sure. WordPress.com/MacBreak. It's good to be back. Let's see. I'll give you some good news. $250 million in the bank. We won't know exactly, but that's expected to be the number announced in just about an hour, right?
Yeah, and that's after all the stock buybacks and the dividends.
Wow.
Everything else they've been doing to reduce that amount.
And there is a chance that President Trump will let them repatriate for 10%.
Tim keeps going. I'm giving it away, Leo, but it keeps growing. I keep giving it away and it keeps growing.
I didn't realize, but this did happen once before in 2004. There was an amnesty under Bush, and companies were able to bring their cash in. They, you know, Google, Microsoft, and Apple, many companies... end up transferring intellectual property assets. In this case, Apple's transferred to Apple Ireland. So they pay royalties to Apple Ireland, even on stuff sold in the U.S. The idea being let's earn that money where the tax rate is much lower. In fact, for a while, Ireland had zero tax rate. I think it's still pretty low and not the high corporate tax rate in the United States. But it also means you can't use that money in the U.S. And Apple's actually had to borrow it against it for some of the stock buyback. But it makes it $250 million is kind of $250 trillion is kind of an unimaginable number.
Yeah, it's the cool thing about that is that we spent the first act of this show talking about, or excuse me, in my case, talking about how, gee, I really wish that Apple, I hope Apple's not making the wrong bets, or with that amount of money, that means that if they decide that, oh, damn it, you know what? Gosh darn it, we really should have invested in multi-touch on the desktop. Well, I guess we're going to have to spend $75 billion to own that entire company that's been doing nothing but developing desktop multi-touch. And now they can get spun up on pretty much any direction they want to take the company in a couple of years simply by saying that thank you thank you and your other 130 employees for working on this problem for the past 12 years. We would like to own the brain. Simply line up in front of the can opener. We have the ice cream scoop ready. You will be very, very happy here in Apple.
To give you an idea of how much a quarter of a trillion is, it's it's greater than the market value of Walmart. It's greater than the market value of Procter & Gamble. It exceeds the foreign currency reserves held by the United Kingdom and Canada combined. Combined. Now, not all of it is overseas, but 90% of it is overseas. They've doubled that cash in just 4.5 years. And I guess there's two ways to look at it. Andy, you make a point. Well, they have a lot of money to spend if they needed to. But the other way to look at it is, why haven't they spent this money? Why haven't they been investing more aggressively in technologies that could help move them forward?
Yeah. They also might get some pressure from shareholders and say, well, you should now be paying, now that you've repatriated all this money, why don't you start paying big, big dividends?
Well, that's what's going to happen. It ends up, in fact, that's what happened in 2004. Very little of it went to hiring more employees or R&D. Almost all of it went to stock buybacks. And that's probably what Apple will do, and dividends.
Oh, but they have to buy Twitter and Netflix. I mean, Leo, the list is so long.
I wish Disney. They would buy Twitter. I'm this close to suing Twitter, by the way.
Because I don't know if Apple wants that headache.
So just Apple, I'm warning you. You'll get the papers. Because, you know, we trademarked Twit long before Twitter even existed. And I sent a note to Ev and Williams, the founder. I said, why'd you name it Twitter? He said, well, I didn't think either one of us would become big. And I was a little miffed. And then we actually had our lawyers write to their lawyers. And they said, well, no problem, because we're never going to get in your business. Our trademark is in streaming content on the internet. And they said, we're always going to be a microblogging platform. We're never getting your business. Well, now here we are. Twitter's about to launch a 24/7 live streaming channel with technology news on it, and among other things. I'm this close. I'm talking to our lawyers this afternoon because the problem is people assume that we're copying them, which drives me nuts. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. But Apple, if you wanted to buy Twitter and us.
Buy Twitter by accident. Take the same
by
money.
By accident. Accident. Oh, it was Twitter. We thought it was Twitter. Oh.
Oh, you keep that.
Keep that billion. We don't need it.
Yeah, that billion. That's fine.
We don't need that. Apple's cash exceeds any company in recent history. It's unusual. In fact, the journal quoted a professor at Wharton, Donald Trump's alma mater, who said, I've never seen a company in this kind of extreme position, barring a winding down. In other words, selling off of assets.
iPhone says you're welcome, Apple.
Is it all iPhone?
It's mostly. I mean, was it 90%, 89% of Apple's profits?
Hard to remember that it was in 1997 that Apple was this close, just a few million dollars short of going out of business, going bankrupt.
That's it. It's a depression era company, Leo. Just like our parents hoarded food because they didn't have it.
That's why they're saving all this money.
We
don't want to ever get that close again.
You kids these days, you with your fancy companies.
Here's a great graph. This is the graph from the Wall Street Journal of the cash being amassed. The blue is amounts held in the foreign subsidiaries.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Carl Icahn takes a stake, calls for big buyback. So it's just, I mean, it's a pretty steady state of growth. But the big bumps, you know, it really starts taking off, as you say, with the iPhone. And the big bumps start in 2011, 2012, 2013. And it's just growing at this point. I wonder, I mean, some of that's got to be interest, right? or investments.
As people talk about iPad not growing or wonder about Apple Watch profits, they're still contributing billions to that bottom line every quarter as well, and it all adds up.
Apple does buy companies, but they don't spend a lot of money. The biggest acquisition, the $3 billion Beats acquisition. I feel like they need that. This is an opportunity. The money does nobody any good just sitting there. It's an opportunity for Apple to do something.
Well, we didn't believe Beats when it happened. Remember, like, if Apple's buying Beats, what?
I still think that was a bad idea, but all right.
No, but I mean, like, it comes out of nowhere, and they could announce a major acquisition next week.
That's true. This afternoon.
Apple buys Disney.
Yeah.
They just had to keep the money around until the deal was finalized.
Well, but you'd have to ask, and I think it's not unreasonable to say, well, how would Disney enhance Apple?
Or any kind. I just mean any really sufficient.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying is, what would you buy that would enhance Apple? I don't know.
The entire supply chain, all of it.
Yeah, I think I don't even think Renee joked there. I think that if, like, Renee was talking a couple of weeks ago about how Apple is going to get a chip fab, that they simply said, okay, guess what? We're not buying. We are designing our own chips for everything from now on. They could really just buy a middling manufacturing concern in China, own it. Buy their entire supply chain, buy their entire manufacturing line, and simply say that we never have to buy a chip that is not singly purpose built, not just for the Mac or not just for the iPad, but for this specific iPad or this specific Mac. There's so much stuff they could do if they decided that we're going to basically take 2 or 3 years in which we're okay with not being the best boy in all of Puppet Land or whatever. We can just basically say 3 years in which we're going to continue to make really good iPads, iPhones, and Macs, but we're really just sort of moving into the new facility and we're really reinventing ourselves so that 3 years later when we do the dramatic unveiling where the Apple logo is now going to be in 6 colors once again, we'll realize, oh, wait a minute, they have their own energy production plant, they're growing their own crops, they're encouraging all of their employees to interbreed as opposed to date outside of the company, and they have their own mines for ore, they are now essentially their own country for all of their independence, and that would not necessarily be the worst thing for them to happen for them.
Just buy AMD and then build the warp engines for the spaceship campus already. I mean, none of that stuff is cheap, Leo.
We talk about the old days in Intel. Intel's really struggling right now. And in fact, they just announced that there was a bug in their management module, a module everybody hates because it was kind of this closed source lump that we didn't know what it was doing. And now it turns out it had an exploit in it. It was a buggy. I feel like Intel's suffering. I mean, maybe Apple does, start doing all their own chips and start making all their own stuff. Why not own the supply chain?
I've joked about it. There's 20 letters left in the alphabet, Leo.
All right. Let's see here. It's 1:30, about an hour and 15 minutes. They will send out an email, right? That's how it all begins.
It hits the wires. Yeah, I think they legally have to make it hit the wires first.
At the close of the market. And then is there an analyst call at 2 this afternoon?
Pacific? Yes.
5 p.m. your time. So we're going to, by the way, we got to get rid of Renee in about half an hour because he's got to limber up.
Shh. He's still on the loop.
He's got to do his finger exercises.
In an hour. I'm good until quarter after.
I loved this article in Axios talking about what to expect from Ina Fried.
Yeah.
She says she's waiting for what I'm looking for, the one sentence. And it seems like in every analyst call, there's one line Apple says, well, like TV is a hobby, that everybody's ears go, whoa, what did you say? Lately, it's been, we're all in on AR. Are you looking for, what are you looking for, Renee?
Yeah, so I think this is not a holiday quarter. It's not a new iPhone announcement quarter. This is typically the quarter where I think Apple is going to be pressed on things like AI and AR. And Tim Cook has proven strangely the opposite of secret when it comes to AR. Typically, Apple won't discuss future-looking plans, but Cook has said 4 or 5 times already that Apple is incredibly intrigued and think there's a big future in AR. So I think he's going to continue sort of tease that thread because, A, it's nebulous enough that it doesn't pin Apple down because AR could be like screens, a ubiquitous technology and not a specific product. But, B, it sends analysts and media types scurrying for headlines, which gets them off his back. So it's almost like a double whammy from Cook at this point.
The word you're looking for is loquacious.
Loquacious.
He's been loquacious. Yeah. Not verbose, but loquacious.
Yeah, he's been open, uncharacteristically open yeah. about in his charming Southern drawl.
But I have to say, I don't think anything Tim does is not carefully thought out. There's always a strategy. He doesn't let things slip unless he has a
this is hilarious. But I've helped Serenity Caldwell do her awesome transcription several times now for the Apple call, and transcribing Tim Cook is incredibly easy. I had to transcribe Elon Musk at one of their recent
calls. Yeah, he's very discursive.
To fill in. It was so difficult. But what I think is, like, Tim Cook is not only well-spoken, but I think, like you exactly what you said, he is brilliant. He has almost total recall, and he knows exactly what he wants to say.
He and does not miss why, me. As Ina says, that one sentence, that's not a slip. There's always, you know, that if there is a sentence, she thinks it might be something about cars. I don't think cars are in Apple's future.
I don't think talk about cars helps Apple. I think talk about VR helps Apple, particularly given how someone dropped a match down Zuckerberg's butt about VR. That was all about that was his entire thing about VR. Excuse me, in his his own Facebook sermon to developers a couple of weeks ago, and it's all people have been writing about Facebook for the past couple of weeks that he's doubling down, if not quadrupling down on VR and Facebook, and also maybe running for president because he's doing a lot of things that are really dopey for billionaires to do unless they think they have a political future. But I don't think that Tim Cook is going to talk anything about running for president. I think he's going to want to at least address that, particularly given that he was very open to acknowledging VR in previous statements.
You see that, Dowling? I did a drop-in. You weren't expecting that, were you, Dowling? Tim, I did a drop-in. Just a little drop-in.
expectations. Here's Fast Company's article by Mark Sullivan on what they always talk about beat the street. Well, here's what the street expects. 52 million iPhones for the quarter. That would be a 1% increase. Anything above that is gravy. Last quarter, 78.3 million devices. But that was the new phone, right? That was the iPhone 7. We're now in the second quarter of the iPhone 7. Apple said early it expects to report between 51.5 and 53.5 billion in revenue. Analyst consensus, 53 billion. Apple always beats the analysts. I don't know why. I don't know how. I think what they do is they sandbag.
Yeah, they put it just a little low enough so the analysts are tempted to go just a little bit higher than they beat both of them.
And they go, ha ha, got you again. It's like psychology. Charlie, it's like Lucy in the football.
Social engineering.
Aha. Services is something we'll all watch with interest. That's been a big and growing business. We're talking App Store, iTunes, iCloud. It grew 18.
If you remember, what is it, last year or the year? Was it last quarter or the quarter before? They said it might go to be one-third of the business in the next few years.
It grew 18% in the final quarter of 2016, $7.2 billion in revenue, $20 billion for the whole year. So, yeah. It's interesting because Apple, I don't think Apple's known for it. It's just the amazing.
It's not a historic strength, I think.
It's not a historic strength. Perfect phrase. But the massive size of their business, the number of iPhones out there, just powers that thing through.
And Apple Music is rising, and it's just there's a lot of things in that ship now.
Jason Snell at Six Colors says Apple's China sales are slipping. In fact, they're now below European sales for the last three quarters. Everybody had big hopes for China opening up that market, but it's been underperforming. So we'll watch that with interest.
Also subject to the whims of the leadership in China.
It's a tough market to work in. Not just the leadership fads, trends. There are a number of very good Chinese smartphone manufacturers like Xiaomi and Huawei.
But LTE keeps growing there, which is good for not just Apple, but all the smartphone companies.
Right. I'll be watching Mac sales because, I still have lust in my heart for a Mac. I brought in today our old cheese grater because we're going to benchmark that new NVIDIA video card in it. And we're going to benchmark it in a PC and I don't know what variety of different things. But of course, I couldn't use the new Mac Pro.
We couldn't get it to work in my Nehalem Mac Pro because it needed a 6.8, and we only have 6.6 power in there, and we're kind of nervous to switch the power supply.
I have the latest. This is the last cheese grater, so I'm hoping, crossing our fingers. We did get an external Thunderbolt box. Now, admittedly, the trash can Mac is only Thunderbolt 2, so it's not going to be, I doubt it will be a good choice for that, but the new MacBooks are Thunderbolt 3, so we'll try it with that as well. So we're going to, that'll be for the new screen.
I just bought a Mac Mini so we could mess around with OS 10 server, and it came pre-installed with El Capitan. So I don't think those things are moving too fast either.
Okay. Well, we'll watch with, really? It came pre-installed with El Capitan?
Yeah, which makes it been on the shelf for a little while.
What the what?
Yeah. When Apple says that 98% of their sales, or I think Apple said that, but when people suspect that 98% of sales are MacBooks, I think they're not far off.
Wow. Of course, you know, that it may be that in June, on June 5th, they'll announce something for WWDC. They never had an event, you know, I mean, that was it. They had, you know, in the spring. We'll watch with Mac sales. Mac's sales have slid for a year, but they grew slightly last quarter. Remember, they were kind of surprisingly up with 5.4 million units.
Gartner's, new Max, though, so that'll be tough.
Yeah, Gartner expects 4.2 million in this quarter, which is the first calendar quarter of 2017, but it is Apple's third quarter, right? I can never. Their second quarter?
I'll
their fiscal check. Year is off by something.
Yeah, it's off by a quarter.
By a quarter, so it'll be the second quarter. iPad sales, you know, they've been down, down, down.
Second quarter,
okay. It's too early, right, for the $329 iPad to make a difference.
I think it probably was introduced right at the end of that quarter, yeah. But that one's not going to be a high-margin iPad. Like, it's not going to be terrible because of the specs in it, but it's not going to be a huge high-margin iPad the way that the iPad Pro. Right.
Well, unit sales would still be interesting, but they don't break out units for iPads, right? It's just iPads.
Not by model. They'll tell you overall, but not they won't break. Like, for none of their products do they break out, like, how many iPhone SEs versus 7s.
Right. Apple Watch. Fast Company says they're expecting 5 million units, but Apple doesn't break out those numbers, so we'll have no way of knowing. Anyway, watch with interest. Follow iMore.com. Renee will be writing it up. Serenity will be doing her famous transcription.
Yep. She's aces at those.
Kind of bad news for the Apple Watch, or maybe not. Says Renee Ritchie.
I have a theory, Leo. You tell them news, and I'll tell you my theory.
Apple apps for the Apple Watch from Google Maps, Amazon, and eBay are gone. Yeah. These updates that just came out in the App Store, no support for the Apple Watch. Why?
So there's two prevailing theories. Mine was that when they shipped the iMessage extension, they just did bad code and lost the Apple Watch extension in the mix because I don't have high hopes in their coding skills. I think the better answer is that they're rethinking the experience and we'll see something at WWDC with the brand new Google Maps extension for WatchOS 4.
Okay.
The other ones I think just nobody used.
I think that's the real case is that the Apple Watch has turned out to be a fitness device.
Google Maps was so for the other ones, I absolutely believe that. I think there's a very narrow case where apps are actually. I think Apple's
nobody's
mistake
gonna
with the
buy
watch was
stuff
assuming,
on Amazon. On
totally,
watch.
But I think Apple was mistake. Was the mistake was trying to make it an apps platform the way the iPhone was instead of a true extension platform. But Maps extensions are hugely. I use Apple Maps on my watch all the time. It is incredibly beneficial to have that stuff just telling you on your wrist where you're going. So I can see Google Maps returning. The other ones, I think there's different use cases, and it's coincidental that those three apps.
Apparently, Google did give a statement to CNET saying that they expect to support it again in the future. So Google Maps, makes a lot of sense. You still have Apple Maps on the watch. But Maps does make
great.
A lot of sense, yeah. But I could see eBay and Amazon. Who's going to buy something on a watch?
The only people who were upset were the ones who use it to keep up to date on their auctions because it was really nice for them to have notifications saying bidders are right. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Andy?
I was just going to say, I wouldn't be surprised if Google said we're not in a huge rush to get this fixed. They certainly want to be committed on getting it on that platform, but I think they acknowledge that particularly on a watch, the built-in feature that a video teaches them how to use it. It's already on the phone is going to have a leg up. So I would like to see the usage numbers between Apple Maps on the watch and Google Maps on the watch. I would not be surprised if Apple Maps is just smoking Google Maps on that platform. So it's not like if there were a tech problem that's like, oh my God, we're orphaning 800 million users right now. They'd be more like, okay, well let's fix this, but we don't have to. It's not an all hands on deck sort of thing.
Made the iMessage app, which, you know, it's like not so you can sort of share your directions on the iMessage app, which I guess is useful, but you know, still extra effort.
That's a forced touch, I think, right?
Well, no, it's in the new Messages app iPhone.
Oh,
yeah, okay. you can sort of share directions right from Messages.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there's a if you force touch Apple Maps, you can share your location.
Yeah.
If you bought a first generation Apple Watch, good news. The repair period has been extended to 3 years, one more year. This is apparently some people are having battery issues, swollen or expanded batteries. Look at that watch. It's got a screen. They just pop it open. Hey, Baba Louie, Sadite.
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 It's like a pop-up timer saying that, okay, you're done.
The battery's big. No, but I mean, anytime you have a battery issue, most companies are going to be incredibly attentive of those because lithium ion is not a safe technology. And until we get what is the solid state is what they're promising next, until we get the solid state batteries, well, let's keep an eye on those.
All right, let's take a break. Andy Anako, Renee Ritchie, we're going to get you out of here in half an hour, Renee. You got to be ready. Ready to type. Stretch those fingers. Our show today brought to you by the best solution. If you love magazines, it's Netflix for magazines. That's what I call it. It's not Netflix, though. It's Texture at texture.com/twit. You get access to over 200 of the best magazines in the world. All the magazines you want to read. $10 a month. Unlimited. All you can eat. You favorite the magazines you want. They'll download automatically when the new issue comes out. You have, of course, every page on the current newsstand issue and back issues and bonus features like videos that you can't get on paper. And I have to say, if you like photography, they've got a bunch of photography magazines, of course, National Geographic. The pictures look spectacular on your iPad, much better than they do when they're screened and printed on paper. So this is actually a better place to read magazines. And I have to say, it's better for the environment and it's better for your wallet, too. You know, I love the New Yorker, but I always feel guilty because there's a pile of them that I say, oh, I'm going to get to that. They're magazines like Rolling Stone where there's one article I want to read once a month, but I don't want to subscribe. And it's really expensive to buy one issue of it on the newsstand. This is perfect. Texture makes it easy to find the articles you want to read, even in magazines you've never tried before. That's another fabulous thing. I've discovered new magazines and even read stuff in magazines that I would like, you know, like the Billboard Hot 100. Billboard's expensive. I'm not going to subscribe to it, but it's fun to know what the hits are. I used to read it when I was in radio. The stations would always get it. It's just great. I love it. U.S. politics, domestic news, international news, the best journalism. It's all inside. And it's great if you travel because you'll have it. You just, you know, and it's compact and it's easy. Wired, PC World, PC Mag, it's all in there. Texture is searchable. You can mark what you like. You can check out back issues. You can view bonus video content and you can get it free for the next 2 weeks. I like their tagline. Build your own wall and keep fake news out. Texture.com. It's not political. Texture.com/twit for a free 14-day try. I think it is true. We're reading more journalism than ever before. You know, if you're interested in what Elon Musk is up to or Mark Zuckerberg, there's great stuff. And you can get it right now. Texture.com/twit for 14 days free. Renee Ritchie, Andy Anako, do not open attachments. Actually, I want to pick a little nit with you, Renee Ritchie. You wrote this.
I do.
Actually, Lori Gill wrote this for iMore. PSA, another reason not to open attachments for strangers. I think it's a really important article to read. But I should point out that phishing scams, ransomware, usually doesn't come from a stranger. It comes from your boss.
That's absolutely true.
IRS or maybe your best buddy. So, frankly,
don't open attachments.
Don't open attachments, especially from people you know. Our ad blockers are really getting in the way here. I'm sorry, Renee. I'm going to turn that off.
No, it's. I mean, every one of those clicks is costing me income, Leo. I'm just kidding.
I do it for the show because, you know, I don't want to have a lot of clutter on the page, but I got to turn this
And now off. It's his escalation. Now everyone's blocking ads, so the ad companies are figuring out ways of telling that you're blocking ads.
I can't now. I can no longer get in.
There's a little button at the bottom that says, screw you. Oh, I don't want to use ads anyway.
Well, I don't mind. I really don't mind. In fact, I actually appreciate it when sites remind me, oh, just, you know, turn off uBlock Origin for this page because this is how, I mean, I read iMore religiously. So let me just turn it off and refresh. And there it is. All is well again. So this is Doc, D-O-K, so named because the attachment is document.zip, spelled with a K. Checkpoint Technologies found this. Yes, Mac ransomware. I guess, or maybe not ransomware, Mac malware. It could be ransomware because what happens is, you know, it says, hey, quick, open up this file. You might be fooled because it's document.zip. What's a little scary of it is that a gatekeeper doesn't block it because there's a signed certificate on it, but that was legit. Now it's been revoked. Of course, Apple immediately revoked it. So it won't work anymore. How does somebody get, are they forging certificates or stealing them?
There's a variety of ways. Sometimes they just register a company, get a bunch of certificates, and then start abusing them. Sometimes they take ownership of a certificate that was issued to somebody else. I mean, it's not impossible to get those.
It happened before, right, with a Turkish developer, yeah. I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you, the good news is you're not going to likely get bit by this now. That's the problem with viruses. They spread so fast because of email that they often spread before Apple has a chance to revoke the certificate. So Doc, if you had opened it, would have owned your system. First, according to Checkpoint, major scale malware to target OS X users. So as of May 1st, though, you'll get a warning.
I think Steve Gibson has spoken to this before, but it's often their economical attacks. When it becomes financially viable right. to attack right. Macs, they attack Macs. If it costs money and nobody ever clicks them, then they don't.
Right.
But if suddenly it's not that expensive and people start clicking on it, it makes all the sense in the world for them to do it.
And just a reminder, don't open attachments. Just because you're on a Mac doesn't mean you're invulnerable. You're safer. I would absolutely say Gatekeeper works really well. It's a great system. But don't.
I'm even reticent. I shouldn't be, but I'm even reticent to open attachments on iOS, even though it's a completely constrained right. environment. But you just never, I would never want to be patient zero.
Same thing for links. If I get links, I'm very cautious about clicking those. You just don't know. And you don't want to be the first. Yeah, you don't want to be patient zero, the first one to get bit.
No, and it was funny because back in my old life in the enterprise, we would have suddenly the network would be infested with people dumping files onto everywhere. And what happened? And someone meekly in the corner went, but it said pics on the link and I clicked it. all it takes is one.
Right, right. Apple may introduce. So Apple has Apple Pay. But it doesn't have anything like Venmo, which is a PayPal feature that allows you to send
peer-to-peer.
Messenger, I can send payments. Apple apparently considering launching its own version of Venmo, peer-to-peer payments with Apple Pay. I tell you, more and more I'm telling people, I'm really sold now on how much safer Apple Pay is than credit cards. Credit card fraud is through the roof. Both Lisa and I've had our credit cards stolen in the last few months. It just
happens. And you guys have PIN and chip now, and we've had that for years. And I remember going to the mall saying, and they would tell you always put in your PIN code wrong the first time, because if the software is legit, it'll reject it. But if it's a skimmer, it won't know that it's a fake number. It'll just try to record it. And like, I have to start worrying about that now, or just dropping my Tap to Pay card at the gas station and paying for the gas for the next five people behind me before I realize it. And so when you have Apple Pay and it's authenticated and it's with you and it's part of your device or it's on your wrist, I'm totally stress-free in all of my interactions now.
It would be awesome if Apple would have a peer-to-peer pay payment solution as well. ExxonMobil, we showed this yesterday on iOS Today. You can now pay at the pump, but it's not Apple Pay.
Yeah.
It's some QR code thing, and it makes me nervous.
It's such a beautiful, it really is something that Apple, I think, would really, really latch on to, because your friends usually have like iPhones or Apple Watches. Now, imagine where it's at the end of you've just had a really great dinner and now you're going to split the bill. Someone wants the airline points and all you got to do, I take out my phone, say, okay, how much is the bill? Great. Here's $36.27. I touch my finger on my pad. My friend gets a bleep. He touches his finger on his pad and he's got $36.22. That could be like the most social way of handing cash over ever. I think they'd love to do that. I think they'd love to demo that on stage.
Exactly. Speaking of which, what are we expecting? We're coming up. We're 1 month out from WWDC.
You just did it, Leo. It's Craig is going to get money from that Eddie owes him from the karaoke live on stage. Eddie lost the bet at karaoke.
I would be surprised to see that.
He owes me. Eddie, you owe me $20 or someone owes $20 to Tim on the last War Eagles game,
Yep. June 5th through 9th. You're coming down, Renee?
Yes, sir.
Andy, do you know if you're going to go to WWDC? You're going to stay home?
I might. It looks like I'm staying home, but I might have some work to do in there that might move up and could get down there. But.
All right. I'll be here, and we'll stream the keynote, of course. And I, you know, I think it'll be very interesting to see. This is now Apple's really, aside from any product announcements they do, their big event. And we didn't get a spring event. Do you think they'll announce? I mean, it's not typically when you would announce consumer products. In the past, they've announced, you know, computers.
Pros, MacBook Pros and Mac Pros.
Yeah. You know, the kind of thing a developer would be interested in. But we've already got the new Mac Pros. MacBook Pros. I don't know.
Well, also, it's time. It could be an opportunity for them to double down on their look. We are serious. We really aren't abandoning the Mac. Look, look what we're doing to enhance Mac hardware. So this could be an opportunity for them to show off some new, a preview of new hardware, just as they did with the Quaker Oats Box Mac Pro, without actually shipping it. But also do it in front of a room of people who are going to scream and applaud and be target audiences for a professional Mac.
Actually, that's a really good point. You know, I can see them coming, you know, Craig Federighi saying, you know, you may remember that a couple of months ago we briefed a number of you on our plans for the Mac Pro. We said we'll have it by next year. We just want to let you know we're making progress. Here's what we're thinking so far. It's very early in it, but I would be strongly encouraged by something like that. I hope they do something like that.
Yeah. I'd also like to see them sort of tip their hand towards the next generation of Mac OS. I still love Mac OS. I'm still waiting for that thing that says that we are not just simply winding it down. We are actually excited about it, and we're going to make it do more things than it could this year, and not little improvements like we're taking iOS stuff and putting it on the Mac. I really am looking forward to them saying here's how committed we are. We are actually going to be introducing Mac OS Montreal. Or Quebec,
right?
Because we're going to take it. We're taking it to a land of freedom and liberty, where we can actually do whatever we want.
I would like to see them talk about the new Apple file system. They kind of just snuck it into iOS in the last update.
A session on last year.
I'm sure they'll have many sessions, but I would love to see them say, "Oh, by the way, APFS." Coming out next week on Mac OS or something like that. It's more than, you know, it was one thing to install it on an iPhone or an iPad. It's a big deal to put it on a desktop. So maybe
I think they'll be a little bit more, they'll be like, well, you'll have the option to install it with this version and you'll be able to back out of it. And that's going to be a real gentle sort of transition.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see if they talk about this because there's all of a sudden all these rumors about the Home Hub. And if you're going to talk about SiriKit and HomeKit and you're going to have a device that specializes in those things, that would be a good time to sort of either hint heavily that it's coming in the fall or even preview it for people and developers.
Right. Right on. I like how Apple is very cohesive in they got one steering wheel and they're driving the car in one direction. But sometimes I really wish that it were more like five divisions and the HomeKit division gets to be the angry people jumping up and down on other people's desks saying, God damn it, you're going to give me 20 damn minutes in the keynote. And I'm going to show off this great stuff, damn it, because otherwise you get the idea. Hey, remember how once you were really, really hot about HomeKit and now I can't even remember if it's supposed to be all one word with a uppercase K or not. Maybe you should show me how awesome HomeKit still is with some actual products and devices that are improving people's lives in colorful ways.
All right, rumor time. I kind of hate doing these.
Oh, come on, hit us, Leo. Hit us with the rumor.
I if I don't do it, somebody will say, hey, what about the fact that
it was real news and you didn't talk about it. You talked about Microsoft, but not the...
Somebody's saying the iPhone 8 won't ship until 2018. We're hearing... what do you think?
Won't ship today, I can tell you that.
Exactly.
New York.
I mean, with AirPods, it's hard to say because like, even when Apple has the best of intentions, even when they want to ship things at a certain date, it doesn't always work out for them. So it's sort of like trying to play prescience at this point.
Yeah,
and they haven't announced anything, let alone a ship date. So
yeah, how can you say it's late if it's not announced? Will it be called the iPhone Edition?
They can literally go to a machine and type in a few keys and everything from the packaging to the website.
Changes its name.
And a product manager does that. And I think Michael Gartenberg has spoken about this. They start off with a name, then they go through a list of 1,000 alternatives. Then often they go back to the original name, but sometimes not always. So at the end of the day, they'll pick the name that I think MacBook Nothing was originally MacBook Stealth, and then they end up just settling on MacBook.
Yeah.
So it's interesting processes.
I feel dirty. I hate bringing these things up.
It's a service. I mean, we had a conversation with Dalrymple once where he said, I feel like I have to tell people because otherwise they're just going to believe all the rumors that they read.
Yeah, so we're able to kind of cast some cold water.
Or give
some context. How about this one? A standalone Siri, kind of like a Amazon Echo. That I believe, right? Everybody wants to.
What is it? How is it different than Apple TV? Because it could be the new Apple TV, but if it's not the new Apple TV, is it exactly the same as Apple TV without the Apple TV on it? Is it actually a speaker that has Apple TV like function? I want to know what it is as a product, because I think saying that it's an Alexa or a Google Home Hub is just not typically the way Apple could be, but it's Apple typically tries to solve a problem with
that. Would be a totally new product, wouldn't it?
My hope is it'll be multi-purpose. One of the things that hasn't been solved yet is multi-personal assistance. We're all great with show me my messages, but if you and Lisa are at home and you say show me my messages, it has to know that you're Leo and you want your messages and not start giving you Lisa's messages. And we're not quite at the cusp yet where AI and voice recognition is good enough to do that. But if we could leap forward so that everybody in the house can go there and say, give me my messages, add this to my calendar, and it just happens because it knows enough about you to guess whether it's facial recognition or voice recognition, and it can do all that stuff at a deeply personal level, I think. And I think that's why Apple didn't do that on Apple TV, is they weren't there yet. But I think there's a real opportunity to make a multi-personal assistant there.
Yeah, Google Home has started to do that. Typical for Google, it's like it doesn't work great, but they promise it'll get better as it goes along. I like the idea of them doing something Siri-like because, oh boy, it really is the intersection of so many blobs on the Apple fascination Venn diagram. There's some things that they really love. They really like media and music. If they make it a really good speaker without necessarily making it a $1,000 speaker, they're really going to get behind that because it makes iTunes sound even better. Makes it even more important. It can be a high-end item of which a household might want to buy several copies of, because that was my experience with Echo. I got one for review and it was like, okay, dang it, when I send this back, I'm gonna have to buy one. And now there are three different Echo devices in my house because I just want it always to be within earshot, even if it's just to tell me what the temperature is. Also, it would help solve the HomeKit problem, because if we make it into this is the always on device that will serve as a HomeKit hub, people don't necessarily, I've always thought that, boy, wouldn't it be, given that the Apple TV is always powered on, wouldn't that be great if that could be the HomeKit sentinel for the entire house all the time? But people will associate, hey Shlomo, turn on the lights in the kitchen right now. They don't, with that kind of a speakable device, they might not necessarily consider that a function of a TV device. And lastly, it allows them to make Siri more valuable, because this is now something that it's not just on your phone. It's not just a feature that you probably don't use on your Mac. It's now something that is everywhere, just like Jarvis. It's like you just ask for Jarvis to do something and Jarvis will do this for you. So I really think that, lastly, just as a beautiful object that will be out in somebody's living room, that's another thing they will love to do.
Yeah.
So this idea, I don't know anything about whether they're actually planning this or not, but this is a rumor that really gets me excited to see if they were to do this, what they would do. Because this, again, going back to the AirPods, this could be just one of the perfectly designed Apple things. It really plays to all their strengths.
Sonny Dixon says he thinks it's going to look like a Mac Pro. Which would be pretty funny.
Well, I mean, a cylinder looks good, like
good
a
way
Mac
to use
Pro.
Those unsold cases that people aren't buying. So,
a mini. You know what? That would be gorgeous. I think you're right, though. Both of you are right. It needs to be something different than Echo or Google Home. That they're late to the market. People have already decided mostly on Echo.
They're late to the U.S. market. There's a lot of countries that have true. Siri that don't have Amazon. They can't
not
buy Amazon.
That useful or good. But on the other hand, if they tied it to, I think you're right, if they tied it to Apple Music or Beats.
And it's got, it's always plugged in. It's got seven beamforming mics the way an Echo does.
It's got great speakers. And I love the face recognition, because that is actually a problem with both Echo and Google Home. Echo lets you switch accounts at least, but it doesn't know who you are. And it could. It's your voice. It should recognize your voice at least.
And it's also, Apple's incredibly cautious with this stuff. So for example, you can't use HomeKit Secure on an Apple TV because it has no fingerprint. You can only do that. And that means like door locks and things. So you can't open your doors using Apple TV because they don't want an open window and someone to go by and yell, hey, Shlomo, open the door. And suddenly they're bursting into your house. So they demand a fingerprint or a passcode for those sorts of things. So you have to have a reasonable amount of authentication in order for it to do the more secure features. And it'll be interesting to see how they do that with sort of a standalone speaker.
Well, they could do what Amazon's doing, put a camera on the darn thing. That doesn't seem like an Apple thing to do.
It seems more like a Google thing. Google's ideal product is at the intersection between, oh my God, this is the most amazing, wonderful thing. Like, oh my God, that's the creepiest thing I've ever thought of in my life.
This is the we're talking about the Amazon Look, which is an Echo, but with a camera and lights. And the idea is it's supposed to take pictures of your fashion choices and rank them.
You think they're going to call it Amazon Peep, and they got talked off of that one?
Peep would be good.
Again, that's machine learning. Amazon's AI has been spending so much time observing human behavior that even it can now body shame you.
We're not going to call this one. We're not going to call this one Alexa. We're going to call it Tom. And
kept telling me I looked fat in this shirt, Leo.
No. It'll be. It's even more sophisticated than that. It'll say, "I admire you so much to
have so
wear
much
stuff
courage.
Like that and not even care."
It's like, yes, that is a perfect
you're an inspiration.
they also, in another rumor, Amazon said we're going to start making tailored clothing. So that would tie in very nicely with this if this Look could kind of it could say, okay,
Knows your inseam, Leo.
It knows what you knows like. It knows your inseam. Yeah. It knows whether you dress to the left or the right, and it can make maybe that's a little too much information.
Exactly.
Amazon, there's no hiding from Amazon.
I see you're dressing to the left today,
knows
Leo.
You like your butler.
It's chilly there today in Boston, I'd say.
Shrinkage,
Leo? We have preheated the seat for your usual 12 o'clock,
Are you sure you don't need to pee? I woke you up because usually you pee at this hour
of the
night.
Oh, my God.
Home kit for Japanese bidets is coming WWDC. Yeah.
I was talking to your mom's device, and we're both really concerned that you're not eating enough. You seem a little bit pale when you shave this morning.
OMG.
Leo! Are you eating?
OMG.
That's the new voice, by the way.
Ming-Chi Kuo says 50-50 chance that they will announce some sort of Siri device at WWDC.
Don't you love the 6-5 and pick 'em headlines?
Yeah.
It's like, only weather people don't get fired. If I had 50-50 odds at my job, I'd lose it.
And then I'm looking at this is the story from the UK newspaper, The Mirror, and I think it's hysterical because in the middle of the story, they link to a story from CNET with the same rumor. Amazon's Echo could see with a built-in camera. Apple's Echo rival could see you with built-in camera. And it's from May 27th, 2016. Yeah. So clearly these rumors have been floating around for a little while,
It's going to have grills, but it's got a speaker. Why would a speaker have grills? This is all confusing.
Yeah,
I don't mean to hijack this show for my own purposes, but Renee, I want to pitch you like an iMore column where I just make up rumors on a every other week.
That's actually a great idea, Andy.
It's easy for me to. I think I'm smart enough that I can make up ones that would make some kind of sense.
If you do it, Andy, I will take the John Moltz lawsuit. I will take the John Moltz lawsuit for that.
I like it. Oh, you're in Canada. You can't be sued.
There you go. You think
crazy Apple rumors,
want
to sue, right?
That even get
the,
across the border
call it,
now?
Yeah. Call it that. Oh, did he really? Yeah. He did crazy Apple rumors?
Yeah, didn't he do crazy Apple rumors for a long time?
I love it.
Am I misremembering?
No, I'm sure he did. It's a great idea. Anything else we want to talk about before we take a break and get to your picks?
We need to get Renee off and running.
We need to get him typing and stretching.
I see him doing this in the chair.
It's like Darth Maul. You know, you're waiting for the force shield to go down on the earnings.
He's like he's like those at the sprinters in the Olympics before, like the tennis before they start. They're all like before they.
I don't hate Balboa, but I will pity any fool.
Was it Greg Louganis? Who was it that was doing the stare at the Olympics? This summer was the new guy. I can't remember his name.
Trying to intimidate the water.
Who?
I dare you to splash
Michael
your rooster
Phelps.
Tail when I. Yeah,
yeah, Renee, you got to get your Michael Phelps face on. Let me see if I
have enough time to smoke that much pot, though.
He was preparing for the Olympics. He was. This is my favorite though. That one.
I'll go with Hicks and Gracie.
Yeah. I'm gonna beat you. Get your car.
This is the stuff you can get away with when you've won 15 gold medals in the same week.
Yeah, like, okay. CrazyAppleRumors.com, curated by John Moltz.
Moltz. Is it known who John Moltz's pseudonym was?
I think it's only known that he hosts really bad podcasts with Lex Friedman.
I shall not. My lips are sealed. I won't say who he was. Okay,
let's. He's the son of poor Oklahoma sharecroppers.
That's who he is.
Crazy Apple rumors about site.
I love John. He is. In fact, Karsten, let's get. We haven't had John on the show in ages, like years. Let's get him on.
He's got way less hair now.
I would love to see John Maltz on the show. He's a funny guy. Our show today brought to you by a really great new product from the guy who brought you Priceline, Jay Walker. Remember Priceline? And remember the William Shatner ads? So this is better than Priceline. This is his next act. It's called Upside, and it is a complete revolution in business travel. Now, if you work for a big company, when I worked for ZDNet, we would call the travel department and they'd book our travel for us and that would be it. But if you're a medium-sized business or a small business like ours, you don't have a travel department, right? You're booking your own travel. You got to check it out at upside.com. They make it fast. They make it easy. They give you the top six flights. It's flights and hotels together. So they give you the top six flights and hotels. Of course, unlike, you know, you get to choose the hotel, the airline, and the flight time. You're no surprises here. You get, you know, but what's great is you also get a gift card with every purchase, a gift card worth $100, $200, even $300, even more with overseas trips, which means, you know, you get the frequent flyer miles on the gift card. Your company gets great savings at upside.com. And frankly, when we buy, we apply the gift card to the ticket price. You could do that as well. I love Upside. It's how we're booking all our business travel now. The best new way for small and medium-sized companies to book business travel. Jay Walker knows how to do this. He's put this together. He's got all of, you know, he's made it all work. You get to choose whose gift card, and they have many to choose from, including all the, you know, all the big ones, Amazon. And so you choose the gift card. You get it within 72 hours. It's an email. They have a hub where you can keep track of it. There's no limit on trips you can book or gift cards. If you travel for business or you know people who do, you got to tell them upside.com. And if you use the offer code MacBreak on your first purchase, you'll get a guaranteed minimum $100 gift card right off the top. Save big on travel and get a big gift card. Everybody wins every trip. Upside.com. Minimum purchase required. See site for complete details. Save time, save money, book everything at once. We're using it now. Lisa was really excited when she discovered it. But because, you know, we're paying our own tickets, we keep the gift cards. Upside.com, a brand new sponsor. We welcome them to the show. And they have a, looks like they have an app on the App Store. They do. So you can also use their iPhone app if you wish. Upside Business Travel. All right, let's get to it. Picks of the week. Let's do Renee first in case he needs to run. Renee Ritchie.
So I have to confess, I did order this. I don't have it yet because I just saw that it was available. And it is a new charging brick for the iPhone. I know everybody has five or six dozen of these and don't think they need another one. But what got me with the Battery Pro from Elevation Lab is that it puts an Apple Watch charger right on there. Now, some of us travel with a whole bunch of Apple gear, and that means numerous cords. Like you have your USB-C cable, you have your iPhone cable, you have your Apple Watch cable, maybe your iPad cable. So the ability to reduce the amount of cables that I have with me is very compelling. So this is a normal iPhone battery charger, but it has the magnetic inductive charging disc right on top of the battery pack. So you can plug in your iPhone and just sort of lay your Apple Watch on top of it. And in my dream world, if it all works out, I will just get to the hotel, I'll plug in the battery pack, plug in my iPhone, stick the Apple Watch on top of it, and not have to worry about two-thirds of the cables that I usually traveled with. And it's got some really clever things, like you can just wrap it around to sort of carry your Apple Watch on the go, although I don't know how it's going to get it off my wrist without killing me first, because it's just always always on my wrist.
It's fused to you just like the gem in Logan's Run telling you Renee.
I mean, Tony Stark built it in a cave out of scraps and it hasn't left my chest cavity since then, but it just is very clever, and I like very clever solutions. And if my Apple Watch on occasion has run out of battery because I didn't didn't put it properly on the adductive plate, or I somehow knocked it off, and it can go a day and a half, but I get to the afternoon and realize it didn't charge overnight, and suddenly it's dead on my wrist, and I want a way to quickly charge it, because if it's dead, I can't close those rings, and Apple is incredibly unforgiving about those rings. It's like they never heard of rest days or do-overs or anything.
That's you, man. Nobody's putting that pressure on you but you.
But I want the perfect week, Leo, and if the watch is charged, I'm ready and it's not, and you know, that's sort of, I feel like that's their fault, not mine.
Perfect means perfect. You have to be perfect in every way.
More than perfect. Yeah, so much pressure. But this looks like a really clever solution. And if people out there have been looking for something like this, I know I'm going to give it a try as soon as it arrives. And if anyone else is interested, it's just I like it.
Nice. Nice. Battery Pro. It's from ElevationLab.com.
$99.
Hundo.
Yeah, it'll cost you $100.
It's a hundo.
Cost you $100 to find out.
I mean, you could just get a regular battery pack and use the Apple Watch cable.
I have a giant one right now, the giant Mophie dual station something or other with two plugs in it that can both power an iPad, and I stick a watch in one and an iPad or an iPhone in the other, but it's still a lot of cabling, and this just looks elegant.
There's no great solution for that, for any watch that goes that way. Yeah.
I like the elastic band that holds the watch in place. I think that's kind of clever.
It's clever, like velociraptors in Jurassic Park. Clever.
And just think, Renee, you know, I bet that if you got a hot glue gun, you could actually like attach a strap to that battery, keep the watch on the battery, and therefore not have to take off your Apple Watch for like 11 days.
You joke, but I was that idiot who had the disc underneath his watch while wearing it with the cord going through the sleeve into the battery pack.
When
it first came out, and I was trying to review it, and I was walking down, you're trying to get everything done before.
This high.
Some people like tall watches, Leo.
Big watches.
I'm not going to judge Schwarzenegger. Not going to judge.
No judging. Andy Anatko, pick of the week, sir.
One quick hit on the Apple AirPods. I happened to be in the Apple store a couple weeks ago. They had them, so I bought them, thinking that, okay, if I don't like them, I'll return them. Either way, I'll review them. I really like them, even though my primary phone is indeed an Android phone. Everything that Renee has said is absolutely true. I mean, they don't fall out. They're a little in danger of falling out when I'm running a bike, because my bike helmet has those straps, but otherwise they stay firm. They will last all day long because of the battery that's built in here. On an iOS device, they really attach, connect really, really quickly. I love, just as a physical object, this thing. It's just a wonderful case. And I was very, very pleased to find that even on my Android phone, it actually works better than most of the Bluetooth headphones that I've tried, because despite the fact there's no wire connecting the two, they really stay connected to the phone that's about 2 feet away in my pocket more consistently than my previous Bluetooth headphones. Not everything about them is the greatest thing, but they're really, really nice, and I am going to keep them because I really like the way they work.
I concur. I use it with Android as well. It is I use it with the iPhone mostly, but it's my preferred way to make phone calls. It's easily the best way to do it. And by the way, new research shows AirPods have a 98% customer satisfaction.
And the recommendation rate was incredible, too.
Yeah, yeah. This is research from Creative Strategies and Experian. They surveyed 1,000 people, 98% satisfied, 82% say very satisfied. There are 2% say neither satisfied nor dissatisfied or dissatisfied. So very low dissatisfaction rate. That's good.
Yeah, and there are a lot of people who complain that, my God, they look kind of stupid, like sticking out of your ears. But I don't agree. I mean, you can barely see it in mine. Yep. It helps if you
Tops
have
camouflage. Like,
exactly.
I just wear them, and I don't care what people think. It doesn't.
The cords don't look fantastic either. I mean, if we're honest, long dangling white cords.
They're really convenient.
So I can endorse, even for people who don't who have, let's say, a 70% Apple hardware instead of 100%. But the other thing I really want to recommend was a really cool presentation app that I just discovered a week ago called Dexset. It is a presentation app that's built on Markdown. So really, you just have a text file that is marked up with Markdown using the regular Markdown tags. We are just putting a number sign for next to something that's going to be a header. Three pound signs is here's the next slide. There's a few custom Markdown things to say, hey, I want a font change here. I want you to insert this graphic here. And it just means that any app, even like a little notepad app you've got on whatever free $50 phone you bought at the drugstore, you can now edit your presentations with. It's not a replacement for PowerPoint or for Keynote, because The only thing that I miss about it is about Keynote with this is that it's not easy to say, oh man, I don't. Turns out that those four slides I don't need, or I really wish that this section were up here, because now you're in the text editor doing cut and paste, looking for the tags that represent slides. But it's ideal for those kind of presentations that a lot of people have to give, where every Tuesday morning there you have to give a 10-minute presentation as part of the weekly on hand about here is what the funding goal is and here's what the status of this server is, where really all you have to do is change numbers in a table every single week or change like a announcements there. You just basically on the way from, you know, from the vending machines where you got your coffee and your donut, and in the 2-minute walk to the conference room, you can just be in a text editor and be changing those numbers, or maybe even write a simple script that builds that markdown file for you.
Yeah.
And the pre-done templates are actually very, very nice. So it really is nice. I look forward to, I'm sure that one of the presentations I give in the next 3 or 4 months is going to be the perfect thing for this. It's $30. It's called DeckSet. And I think it's a very, very polished app. Now, it's not the only app that is a Markdown-powered presentation app. There's some that are actually free, but I would have this one is nicely polished. It's nicely done. There's a free demo that just puts this annoying little Post-it bug saying, "This guy don't fund this guy's startup. He didn't even afford to spend $30 on this presentation app. It's a demo version." But it really, I really like the attitude of it. I really like how it works. Great stuff.
You might mention to them there's a little typo in their Haskell programming code, though. They're doing a factorial function, and there's a typo in the bottom here. I like it, though, that it does automatic code highlighting syntax.
It does. It has formatting for code, has formatting for like MathCAD and text. So if there seems to be, it has code for if you want to do a table, if you want to have split, you want to have four pictures striped on the screen. It seems like there's very little that it can't do. And if nothing else, I often get more fascinated by the visual stuff, where I'm so proud of myself. I had 6 hours to like finish and like fine tune my presentation one night, and I suddenly got the idea, wouldn't it be great if there were like a horizontal line on every slide and it moves up and down during transitions to highlight different, and I got too excited about doing that animated number that animated line that I probably should have spent more time in. Actually, we can cut 10 minutes from this. So this will act really force you to just focus on what you want to say. I think that's going to be helpful for dopes like me.
Nicely done
app.
Very nice. I have not tried it yet, but I did want to mention that it's available now. You may remember that Jonathan Zdarsky, our favorite Mac security guru who took a job at Apple, had to let little Flocker go and did sell it to the folks at F-Secure, who make great stuff. F-Secure bundled it into a security package that they're offering now for free called X-Fence. It might only be free while it's in beta. I don't know. But it has little Flocker and more. They say an effective way to prevent silent exfiltration, encryption, or destruction of your data. That was the idea behind little Flocker, was keep an eye on bad guys trying to change system files or encrypt your data, things like that. Applications have to get permission before they use your webcam or start programs or take control of other programs or eavesdrop on your internet connection. Little Flocker was a little too aggressive and difficult for me, so I turn it off. But F-Secure has a great reputation. They're good people, and they're offering it for free for download right now on your Macintosh. So check it out, and I'll download it and try it, and get back to you next week with my impressions. They say F-Secure's X-Fence 166 is our initial beta release of X-Fence. Its current feature set is compatible with Little Flocker 164, first version of X-Fence. Will not be able to migrate your little Flocker rules or preferences, nor will it be published as an update to existing little Flocker users. So it sounds like it's probably time to move to X-Fence, although they do plan to have an automatic upgrade, which will import your rules and preferences in the future if you're using little Flocker. Ladies and gentlemen, time to let Renee, Richie, and Andy Iannocco go so they could pay attention and listen to the analyst call, which is an hour out. Next week we'll gather once again and talk about what Apple announced this week, which is kind of what we do every week.
All the monies.
How much monies does Apple have?
All of it. And none more monies.
Since we didn't run out of time, I'll mention one more story that we didn't get to. We talked about it yesterday on iOS today. Merriam-Webster, the dictionary company, has added a new word to its dictionary called, the word is sheeple. And as you know, when there's a new word, they always give you citations to existing uses of the word. The example they're using in a sentence, Apple debuted a battery case for the juice-sucking iPhone, an ungainly, lumpy case the sheeple will happily shell out $99 for.
That seems a little bit editorial for a reference, but don't you think?
There's nothing like having your DSC canonized by your website.
They tend to use citations from actual publications. So I don't know. The author of this is Doug Criss. Do you any of you know who that is? Let me do a search for him. Ah, CNN.
CNN.
So, Doug, your name will live in infamy.
In infamy.
As the
whether it's editorial or not, my mom would have been thrilled if I were quoted in a dictionary. So I will not give him any crap for that.
Exactly.
That's true.
Exactly.
That's true. Congratulations, sir.
So, and you know, it's a good word, sheeple. Shouldn't just apply to Apple users, but it's a good word. Merriam-Webster, shame on you. Thank you, everybody, for being here. We do this every Tuesday, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1800 UTC. You can watch live on twit.tv/live. You know, they just announced a new TLD, .live, and I got up early in the morning yesterday, and somebody had already got twit.live. If that's you, thank you. You can just hand that right over here. I'll be glad to, you know, take the keys.
I'll give you your $13 back and everything.
Yeah. For now, it's twit.tv. Well, you know what? It's got to have been a fan because they registered on hover.com, our sponsor. So
there
I'm thinking it's somebody we know. Twit.
He has taste.
She has good taste. Twit.tv/live or live.twit.tv. Maybe someday twit.live. Or youtube.com/twit. We're on YouTube Live. Or ustream.tv. We're on Ustream. Or twitch.tv/twit. We're everywhere. And if you watch live, by all means, get in the chat room at irc.twit.tv so we can talk. But if you can't watch live, on-demand audio and video versions of the show are always available. All of our shows on our website. In this case, twit.tv/mbw or wherever you get podcasts. In fact, do me a service and subscribe if you would. That way, you know you'll always have an episode. And it'd be nice because, you know, you get in the car and you go, what am I going to listen to? Oh, I have the new MacBreak Weekly. So it's automatically. You can subscribe on our webpage or just go to your favorite podcast client and search for MacBreak Weekly. Where'd that picture come from? I like that. Is that our? No, that's TuneIn. Yes, we're on TuneIn Internet Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, I hate to say it, but it's time to get back to work because you know why? Break time is over. See you later.